I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar, and once again I'm flying solo here. The fabulous Kirilani will not be joining us at the moment, but she could surprise us at any time, so stand by with bated breath. Actually, breathe slowly with consciousness. That's so much better. But this is Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you the information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey and the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Now, we were there November 1st and 2nd, and if we didn't see you, we certainly missed you. So we hope to see you in this coming out, the celebration of spring and Beltane and the flowering and the expression and the rebirth, the energy of May, that freshness that it all brings. May 2nd and 3rd, don't forget. Now, our guests tonight include Sherry Dr. Felton and John Voris. But before we talk with our guests this evening, we're going to share a little touch of a go with the flow, because last night was the Leo full moon. Now, how many of you went outside to look at that moon? And the answer, if you haven't, why not? We've just passed a certain level of milestone. I mentioned it yesterday and I mentioned it the day before. And you know what? I'm going to mention it again because I'm that type of guy. You know, February 2nd was our traditional Groundhog Day, which is actually kind of the secularization of Candlemas and Imbolc. And those represented our movement from that midnight sun of winter to the freshness and beginning of the rebirth of spring. So this is the time. Forget about January 1st. This is the time when you make those commitments to yourself to rebirth yourself as the new, brighter, fresher you that shines out into the world, that takes that inner divine light and just brings it out so that everybody sees the expression of the true you inside. It's no longer time to hide in the shadows. Winter is over. I don't care how many storms reach the East Coast. It is now time for each and every one of us to bring our true selves out. We've been making this journey for many, many, many years, and there's no better time than now to face all the polarity, all the problems, all the issues in the world and say, I'm going to face them each and every day as the true me that I am. And you know what helps you do that? This Leo full moon. My goodness, is anyone more secure and yet more self-conscious, self-aware than a lion? Whether they're in a cage or on the tundra, no matter how you see that lion's doing two things at each and every moment. It's saying, look at me and approach if you dare. That lion has the assurity that it can protect and is safe and there's no danger coming to it. And yet at the same time, it says, don't I look fabulous? Aren't I looking good? So that's what this Leo full moon is doing to us. It's saying, you know what? You're safe and secure as long as you provide that safety and security inside yourself. But at the same time, you need to bring your inner lion out and say, hey, ain't I looking good? Aren't you out there strutting your stuff, bringing your inner diva out? Aren't you saying, this is me, and here I am, world? And some may say I like it, and some may say I don't, and either way, it doesn't matter. It only matters that you bring that safety, security, and consciousness to being the you that you are, and do it the way a lion does. Every step, Every movement is deliberate. If you have cats or dogs, watch their movements. They don't do unconscious things. Oh, we may laugh at some of their antics, but they're very conscious about what they're doing, even if sometimes when they go running into something or sliding on a carpet, it's an action that seems unintended, but the running was deliberate. Every movement of their body has an intention to it. That's what we need to be. This is our year. This is our time. It's a year of balance. It's a year of prosperity. It's a year of success based on coming from that true self-love of self. And self-love of self is not narcissistic. You'll never see a lion looking in a mirror to see how good it looks. It knows it looks good. It doesn't need a mirror to tell it. So it's not fascinated with its image. It's fascinated with who it is from an essence perspective. That's what we've got going on this week. It's a time to reach in, pull out, and bring forth. And that will help lead us into our first guest. But actually, before we do that, I apologize. There's one more thing I wanted to share. From the Essene Book of Days, the meditation for today. How strong in me is my need to grow, to expand, to meet the promise of the coming spring? There is a joy in me that carries me onward from this physical being to the awareness of the cosmic ocean of love in which I dwell. May I be blessed to share this joy with all beings in whatever way I can. There you go, fellow travelers on this planet Earth. Go forth and love, but start with you. And that leads us to our first guest. Sherry Dr. Felton is a registered nurse. She has her Master's of Science in Nursing. She's a public health nurse, a faith community nurse, a biologist, financial analyst, and a California credentialed teacher. And she is passionately committed to optimizing the wellness of human body and spirit. With her experience in critical care, emergency post-open heart surgery, medical surgical, home care, hospital management, public health, as well as state government health, teaching, and faith community nursing, she provides a combination of highly effective resources, expertise, and support for enhancing your health and well-being. And she is the founder of the Wellness Planning Institute of Monterey, and we are lucky that she is joining us here tonight. Sherry Dr. Felton, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you so much, Solar Czar. That was a very warm introduction. I very much appreciate that. And your words from the beginning about how we really need to step into the fullness of who we are. This is the year, this is the time, and this is the moment. I love it. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, and actually, a big part of where we need to step into the truth of who we are is the ongoing debate. For instance, lately they've been spreading through the airwaves, this whole thing of this measles epidemic. And my big thing always is, if I don't get vaccinated and you get vaccinated, why have I put you at risk? You know, and yet we've turned into this whole thing of, we don't have the right to have the choice about our health. We're going to be told when to vaccinate our children. We're going to be told they can't go to school, they can't go to this park, they can't do this without showing their vaccination card. And yet what you provide in the Wellness Planning Institute is the opportunity for people to take ownership and take the choice in their wellness planning.
Very well said. And the way that we choose to do that is, since I've had a very long and deep background in science and math, I am very comfortable with that. So I'm very comfortable with also examining the latest research around the world, not just what is here in our National Academy of Sciences, but also just finding out what is the going edge about facts and figures, about ways that we can enhance our wellness, whether it's in our body, our mind, our soul, and spirit, and yes, I do make that distinction, whether it's with our surroundings, our environment, within our families, within our communities, and also fiscally, i.e. with our money as well, too. All those aspects tie into the fullness of who we are, whom we need to be, and how we can reach out to each other.
Okay, so I've walked through the door, and I've said, I'm here to find out what you can offer me. What's the process that I would go through, and how would you start with me, and where could potentially we would proceed?
And that happens quite frequently with people coming right through the doors. From the moment they step into the doors, they're going to be introduced to wellness. It's in the air that they're breathing, the quality of the air. There are things that we have done to it to make it be energized. There are smells that they smell that actually are molecules that are designed to enhance their wellness, killing parasites, killing fungi, bacteria, and viruses, the bad ones. And then we've done things in terms of the lighting to make it a very natural lighting that is very congruent with living cells. And of course, there are individuals there to greet the individual to make it easier to explore what is really the essence of why they've come through the door. It may present very concretely in, I'd like to lower my blood pressure using wellness ways, or I'd like to be able to increase my energy throughout the day. I'd like to be able to change the ways that I eat in a natural way. Or, you know, I'm really a buff athlete, but I'm finding I'm not as strong as I was in recovery. How can I enhance that? Or there are people who have been very diligent, very mindful about how they want to eat and drink, and yet they're not having the desired wellness. They have some medical issues that are going on. And yet when we explore a little bit further, we see that on a genetic basis, they may be lacking the enzymes to process the foods and the drink that they have actually ingested. So it can be very varied as far as how we can address the particular aspect that someone's looking for. But it's done in a way that is not overwhelming, directional, and it's also customized for that particular person.
And is it done in concert and with a parallel to other health therapies that a person may be pursuing?
Very good question. Yes, because we are, although we are a consortium, the Wellness Planning Institute, we consist of various practitioners, some licensed, some credentialed, some both, who are skilled in their areas of expertise. And so while an individual may come through the doors seeking a particular focus for addressing their healthcare concern, in the process of seeing the things that we have to offer to an individual, they might find that they want to have two or more individuals, practitioners, who are able to assist in helping them to reach their goals. It's pretty exciting to see that.
So they actually have the option also of selecting people?
They do. Okay. They can, as it behooves them, and certainly there's concerns about monies as far as for being able to afford good health care, but we're there to be able to assist the individual be able to do that.
So I have my own definition of wellness, but could you share with us what wellness means to you? What is the Wellness Planning Institute? As you said, you're doing body, mind, soul, and spirit. What is wellness to you?
I love that question. I'm here to say I did not create this, and I don't even consider myself a real forerunner, but I am an excellent student. And so what I've done is hang around with those who have been the forerunners, the pioneers through the decades, through the centuries regarding wellness. Now, coming from a medical perspective, from a math science perspective, there's the aspect of wellness being, i.e., absence of disease. I think that's only one small part of wellness. The way that I look at wellness, the paradigm that is not always practiced this way in this country, but becoming more and more so, is that wellness is the larger umbrella under which our acute care system, our rehabilitative care system, our surgical, our medical approaches can come. Also under that umbrella is addressing aspects of the spirit, addressing aspects of pain, pain relief, pain management. And overarching all of this is the belief in the power of the individual to not only become stronger in their sense of comfort with making choices, good choices, effective choices for experiencing and sharing good health.
You know, I recently read an article about the secondary healing aspect, mm-hmm. which most traditional medical personnel are familiar with. And what that is for the listeners, just to let you know, or at least what I read, and so you can correct me, is that, for instance, if my mother, who has she's passed over several years ago, but if she were alive today, and let's say she had been living an isolated, lonely life and suddenly contracted cancer, and now all of a sudden the grandkids and the kids and everybody's coming over. In some cases, they've noticed, in many cases actually, people don't recover from their treatments because in the back of their mind, in the subconscious, is I can get well and be alone again, or I can stay sick and continue to get all this attention. And so it's an important aspect, it would seem to me, from what you're doing at the Wellness Planning Institute, is teaching us to pay attention to all the aspects of our health, because often we're sabotaging ourselves not because we want to sabotage ourselves, but because we're seeing a reward in an outcome that is not serving us best for our health.
Very well said. That is probably the whole essence of humanity, in really having a comfort level with being truthful within ourselves and with each other, with those who are trustworthy, because not all have learned that aspect or earned that aspect. You tap into something that is so critical even now in this country, particularly where it comes to obesity or the ability to let go of excess weight and experiencing wellness, that we're finding it's not just enough to monitor calories or exercise or input, output, all those are important and measurements thereof. But the critical aspect is, why is it important to this individual at this time? And what are the supports that are available to assist this person in the down moments to get them through to the other side? We all need that kind of support from time to time to reach our goals. So you're absolutely right. For that aspect of wellness to really shine, to really bloom, it really behooves us to take that time to really get familiar with inside and letting the true self out, finding other ways to help meet those needs that are so critical for life.
And I always like to say, for the years and years that I was a smoker, actually through my entire time in the Marine Corps, so getting tested physically, running every day, and still smoking, that made a lot of sense. But there was an emotional connection to smoking that went beyond the addiction. And for me, when I was smoking, it was always the issue of it was something I was giving to myself as a form of comfort. And it was breaking that allowed me to stop smoking. But it was that. It had nothing to do with the physical addiction. Yeah. I mean, the physical addiction was there, but there was a real emotional connection. This was my moment. This was my moment for me, me and my cigarette in this moment. And when you think of how ridiculous that is for the listeners out there, what I'm really saying is me and this thing killing me are having a moment. And this moment is more important to me than my health, you know, and that's that emotional hook.
Yeah, thank you for that clarity, and thank you for letting us have a little peek inside. That is so valuable. I saw a movie the other day. Sure, I'll go ahead and say the name. It was part two. It's called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead with Joe Cross, I believe.
Yeah, I saw the first one. Yeah.
Yes, and he's gone a little bit more into detail as far as for recognizing the importance and the critical essence of really understanding that emotional hook, if you would, and actually address that within the movie. It's not just about food. It's not just about cigarettes. It's anything. Some people can feel that way about their cars or about their children or about their pets. It doesn't matter what it is. It's that it's taking the place of what really truly needs to resonate within the individual. And some people are willing to explore that and move beyond that, and others are not. So we are available for those that wish to explore it.
So how do people actually do? Now, I said walk in, and you said, well, that can happen.
Sure.
But are people most often referred by other health practitioners?
I would say it's about on par. There's about a third who are referred from various practitioners within the community, whether they are MDs or dentists or psychotherapists or other licensed personnel. Also, it could be word of mouth within the community. It could be within our places of worship that people find out about ways ways of being able to assist individuals to get that next step in their process of being more healthy. It could be through other practitioners who are already seeing clients or patients within the area. They're on Cass Street where we are. And they're curious about what else could be done to assist in terms of wellness.
Now, I want to let folks know there's two things we want you to pay attention to. You can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, and you can connect right on over to wellnessplanninginstitute.com. wellnessplanninginstitute.com, and find out more. And as you mentioned, you're over on Cass Street. Was it 950?
It is 950 Cass Street at Suite A, and we're on one level, and there's parking right in the parking lot right next to the doorway, so it makes it very easy to come inside.
And the second thing I wanted you to pay attention to slipped my mind because that's just how I am. So I wanted to point out I can count. I had two items. That was the first one. Oh, I wanted to remind folks, if you want to call in and ask a question, you can call 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. And if you need to step away from your computer and want to listen to the show, remember you can call 518-600-7018 and listen to it from any phone anywhere. But so let's go back to the Wellness Planning Institute. Now, this is something, I may use the wrong term, please correct me, but something you founded.
Mm. Yes.
What did you feel was the need, and where did your drive come from to say, this is one way I can address this need?
Thank you so much for that question. It's really been a very powerful and empowering journey for myself. I've been in nursing for nearly 40 years and started out in Sacramento and in Santa Cruz area. Had been in public health and had traveled around the world and observing different healthcare systems and ways of managing sickness, wellness, health. And in the process of being a heart nurse, I watched some of the same individuals come back over and over for the surgery, and I thought, there must be another way. And the particular persons that I had studied with, Krellen Pauling, son of Dr. Linus Pauling, and some of the other individuals, Gary Jones in genetics, just caused me to ask the question, what are the other ways? And particularly at looking at plant-based nutrition, aspects about the mind and the spirit, things that we can do that we can be empowered by doing, and in the process, save money, save time, and increase efficacy in terms of feeling better, feeling more energized, sleeping deeper, waking up more refreshed, being at a proper BMI, basal metabolic index, for being able to do the things that are important to us in our lives.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So I find that in the process of exploring those aspects, being involved as a practitioner, asking those questions, I also experienced a time of illness myself for 13 years with an autoimmune illness, and actually faced death, thought I was going to need a pancreas transplant.
Ooh.
And getting ready to fly out via helicopter to Stanford, and I had some people around me who prayed for my wellness, and it's a long story, but in essence, that afternoon, did not need to go for that surgery. And so the various physicians that were working with me, looking at different research, said, you must really find a way to help people to understand about use of proper foods, water, nutrition. They just didn't have the time at that time to really go more in depth, but it was what their hearts were really saying. They were noticing those differences.
And I don't want to be damning or condemning of the medical community, but I am going to say one thing is that many medical practitioners, not all, are not really aware or familiar with the other aspects of health in terms of diet. They may tell you to exercise, but they're not really diet focused. So what we hear many stories of, again, anecdotal stories from different people who have had the experience, are doctors who say it's not about diet. And yet we find in so many cases, proper diet, forget about exercise, which we should do, proper diet is the real key where we start. And in this country, we have spent generations, decades, of creating a diet system that is not nutritious and not healthy.
Right, for various reasons, yes. Yeah. And thank you with that. I do concur with your words. Again, I come from that field. I had gone to medical school. I know how it is, how we are trained to be able to focus in ways to help with various individuals. And yet, but there were various scientists, various physicians who themselves directed me to those studies from back in the 1930s, studies from hundreds of years ago, during the time even with Thomas Alva Edison being around, time of the light bulb being created. There was known information about the importance and the efficacy of good diet, good water, good spiritual aspects, all having a place for wellness. And there were medical schools that actually taught that. I believe the year was sometime in the mid-80s when the last of those three schools closed that really strongly understood the science as well as the practical aspects of the importance of proper diet, water, you name it, all those aspects that we understand under that umbrella of wellness. And yet it's scientifically shown to have value.
Well, and something that you mentioned too, when you talked about when you were going through the issue with your pancreas, mm-hmm. the people prayed over you. I want to go back even to that secondary healing aspect very quickly for the listeners. It's very important when you're going through a process that you are vested in your own healing.
Amen.
You know, so, for instance, if people prayed over me and I didn't believe it would have any impact, the prayer might or it might not. We actually don't know because, in essence, I'm giving the resistance to it. So it's very important at all times that we're vested in our own healing, that we believe in it and we believe that there's a process. And another thing that I believe you mentioned, you help people through this process, is we have to know. We have to know what the impact is of what's wrong with us and what the process is about the healing that we're going through. We need to know so that we can be aware, because we are, no matter whether it's wellness or whether it's allopathic medicine, we are a laboratory rat. Things work for different people. End of story. You know, some things work for more people than others, but things work differently for different people. So we have to be paying attention. We cannot possibly go in. Our cat recently, been with us 12 years, recently passed from cancer, and she had stomach cancer, which started last year. We went through over 6 months of treatment and everything else. But one of the things that I learned that I absolutely never knew was the doctor saying that with cats, you can never tell. First place, they can talk to you, but can you understand them? But you can never tell what's going on with the cat because their genetic makeup is to disguise the appearance of pain to the outside mm-hmm. world. It's a protective mechanism. So they'd be fighting against themselves to say, I'm hurting over here on this paw. They don't really do that. They just continue on like nothing's wrong. But we have to make sure we're not cats when we're going through a healing process, mm-hmm. that we're paying close attention to where we don't feel well. And we need to pay close attention to the impact of what's going in us and how it's making us feel.
Very well said. I think one of the things that really identifies who I am as a nurse, the way that I was trained and educated, is that power of the construct of family. It might be the biological family. It might be the adoptive family. Maybe those in our lives at the time who have that vested interest in our very best, whatever that may be. And the power of that unified aspect together in healthcare, whether or not someone does have a belief or a worldview in a spiritual aspect, we are nevertheless, every one of us, a spiritual being. And that scientific aspect of my own background, I understand that there are some interventions that may work very well for some individuals, not as well for some, and not at all for others. Much of it is based on chemistry, on biochemistry, which we can ascertain through genetics, through other diagnostic tests. And in that process, be able to better identify which intervention may be best for someone at a particular time. The words that you speak, though, about our own empowerment and depending on those who have that empowerment on our behalf is huge, absolutely vital.
Well, it's like I want the listeners to think of when you're taking your car in and you say, hey, it has a banging here. You may not know what the banging is, but you try to tell the mechanic, I think it's banging over here. You don't have to know really the details of what that is, but we do need to be aware and be a partner in the process. You know, we're bringing in people such as yourself who are experts in their area to assist us. We have to remain a partner. We don't abrogate responsibility.
That's absolutely true. And Solzar, thank you so much for emphasizing that point. For those practitioners, whether licensed, credentialed, or both, or whatnot, that take the time to really be present with an individual, and for the individual who's coming forth, having that vested interest, to take the time to be as clear as they can for being in touch with who they are and presenting what's going on, I think it's a dance, if you would, with the two or more that are involved, to be able to get to the source of what's actually going on and addressing that source.
And so we want to remind folks that you can call in at 831-899-5792 if you have any questions or there's a specific area you would like to ask Sherry Dr. Felton about wellness in general. Now, you know, this month, February, is actually the month of balanced love. Now, you might think that that's because of Valentine's Day, but Valentine's Day is a false holiday, so you won't find me. Don't misunderstand. Kira's getting roses. But you won't find me touting Valentine's Day as the be-all and end-all of the representation of love. It's just a symbol. But February itself is about balanced love, and it goes back to what we said about the year. It's about, you know, the balanced love. It's the self-love. It's the love of self and then to others, to family, to friends, to everyone. Love is an all-encompassing emotion, and it's one of the most powerful emotions that we have in our arsenal. As a matter of fact, love can conquer anger. So the point is that if you're willing to love yourself, then your health, your well-being is very important to you. Now, do you provide workshops and classes for people who would like to know more about their health maintenance and things like that?
We do, not only one-on-one, but also in small groups and large groups. And it just as a matter of fact, for tonight, for example, we call them Wellness Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The topic for tonight is for those who love chocolate, nice, scrumptious chocolate. There is a way to be able to eat chocolate that actually is healthful for one. And we explore those aspects about how it is healthful and actually taste and see and experience the added energy, calmness, etc. So that's for tonight. We have other Wednesdays where we talk about letting go of excess weight within 30 days by having plant-based nutrition, and how to be able to select good foods, becoming familiar with that PLU number, becoming familiar with what it means to be organic, what it means to be genetically modified or non-genetically modified, what's the significance of that, for example. We have other workshops that talk about water, what constitutes healthful water, how to be able to have that, how to be able to have it very inexpensively. And then we talk about sleep, that there's a whole science regarding sleep, and that it's about increasing those number of cycles of REM or rapid eye movement sleep, how to be able to have that in our homes or where we choose to sleep, and then how to create more healthful, energized, safe places in our homes, in our cars, in our offices, at school, how we can be able to do that, taking care of ourselves, our loved ones, our children, our pets, how to be able to enhance that in very safe and efficacious and affordable ways. And fun. I like to add the fun to that. So those workshops can be, as I mentioned, one-on-one. They can be in small groups. We have been asked to go to different places, not only throughout the state, but elsewhere around the country, as well as there at the Institute.
Sam, we're very lucky that you're here in the local Monterey area.
Thank you.
But if I were not in the Monterey area, can I still reach out to you?
Funny you should ask that. Yes, I had not necessarily planned that at the beginning of putting the Institute together 5 years ago. It's been in a process for 7 years. We've been at our site going on 5 years this year. But we have had individuals who we have not even seen face-to-face but been able to assist through phone conferencing, through Skyping. There are groups of individuals who we can Skype a presentation with, and it's gone very well. And people have had some amazingly wonderful results, from the loss of excess weight to being able to find their life partners to being able to increase their financial well-being. I mean, just in various ways that people need to feel more well and to experience wellness. It's been exciting from far away as Finland, the Philippines, as well as here throughout the United States.
So what's the best way then for people who want to contact you who are more remote?
More remote, obviously, through the internet, going onto the website wellnessplanninginstitute.com. They can also Google my name. That will give some contact information. That will give the office number 831-531-4553. And be able to call. If I'm not there at the Institute, that call will go to my cell phone. So wherever I might be in the world, it will find me. They will find me. You will find me.
So also, we want the listeners to know that Sherry Dr. Felton has agreed to be a segment host here on radio, on Good Vibrations Radio. And you'll be on Wednesday evenings, was it 5:15 to 5:30, if I recall.
I'm very excited about that.
So what will they expect? Would we be talking, for instance, about PLUs and BMIs? And I love these. But I'm saying all these little tidbits that we might take something away to say, you know what, I got to make sure I tune in next week because I'm getting better just by listening.
Yeah. Well, this is where you, the listener, come in that you can help us out quite a bit by letting us know what would you like to know. It's not saying that I know everything. I do have contacts with individuals who are experts in their own fields. But there are different topics that we could talk about, whether it is with food or sleep or relationships or you name it. It's all good. Or about art, or about dance, or about exercise. You get to decide what that's going to be. It's all good.
All right. Well, that's actually all good. We want to remind you, folks, once again, to go to wellnessplanninginstitute.com. You can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect right over. If you're on the Good Vibrations radio page on Facebook, you can connect over from there as well. So make sure that you're connecting and finding out what you want and find out more about what they're doing. There's a list of upcoming events, and you can find out if you're in the local area, you can find out about the Wellness Wednesdays and attend those tonight. You probably missed it. Tonight you can learn about chocolate. Okay, you missed it, but now you know to pay attention to that. And I still am a firm believer, as we've discussed in several different ways this evening, is that health, which we're not taught at a young and early age, health is about the choices that we make. We weren't taught that. When I grew up, we were ecstatic that we could have Tang, that we spent millions on the space program so we could have Tang, because we thought that was the neatest thing going, was having Tang. You know, we were in love with the idea of Wonder Bread that didn't turn moldy after 2 days and thought that was something good, instead of thinking that maybe it's not turning into anything in our system either. But Wonder Bread helps build bodies 12 ways. Actually, it helps build landfills 12 ways. So many, many things that we grew up with, the better living through chemistry, which came from the 50s and 60s more than anything else. And we believed it could all be fixed by that little pill. And you may remember, not you, because you're entirely too young. She's really only 22 years old, so I want you to know that. But she's managed to put a lot into that 22 years. But we had that song when I was growing up, Mother's Little Helper. It's about the little pill in the medicine cabinet, that when things got tough, we didn't handle stress. We took pills. We took pills so we could hide the stress and max the stress and ignore the stress. We never really handled the stress, so we never got to the core issue. And today, we have a more intense, more fast-paced, more instant knowledge now lifestyle, which increases our overall stress level. So being able to learn how to manage our stress is a big way to learning how to manage our health, because a lot of what we're facing and going through, from, like you said, lack of sleep, not having enough REM sleep, or having an overlove of pizza and ice cream. I won't say who, but pizza and ice cream, where you're going for comfort food, even though it doesn't serve you, you still feel hungry, and it's not providing nutrition to you. Things like that that we don't pay attention to. Some of you do. I won't say all of you don't. But as a society, we don't. So what you're doing is really a great service, and I appreciate. And if you met the lady, you would find that that sense of spirit comes through, that sense of spirit of reaching out and service. Many people do wellness and many people do health that really are not in the service business, And I want to point one more thing out, and I'm sorry I'm talking because it's really your time, but one thing we have to understand, as I mentioned at the top of the hour through Magic for Life, you know, we do the production and promotion of the Road to Psychic Fair. I hear all the time from some communities that I'm a part of about all the frauds and fakers that are there. But it's the same thing in the wellness and health community. And just think of it this way. I want the listeners to think of it. If somebody has a need, there's always somebody who's willing to take advantage of that. Not everybody, but there's always somebody. I was just speaking today with someone who told me they have a distrust of doctors because of a condition they went through that the doctor wanted to operate. Someone else said, you know, let's try. She asked the doctor if she should alter her diet, and he said, no, not a problem. Eat anything you want. But by altering her diet, she actually corrected the situation. Now, that was her situation with one person. Are all doctors like that? Absolutely not. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to say is that fields where people have a need for something are fields that are ripe for people to take advantage of you. So if you think that wellness is something you shouldn't make a part of your life, then you're leaving yourself half covered in your approach to health.
I would agree. Very well said. As you know, because of my, how should I say, eclectic approach to life in general, also too in terms of wellness, certainly we can make better and better choices, but in order to do that, we need to get better and better information, and also having an openness to having our paradigm be expanded by new information as it comes along. Will we make mistakes? Of course we will. The key is, though, we don't stay with a mistake. We don't stay with a certain misperception, but allow for more truth, additional truth, to expand to being able to get that which we need.
And put that in a comparison. I'm going to oversimplify this again because I'm really passionate about some of these issues. If going through a wellness session, it's determined that I should eat more kale and almonds, and after eating more kale and almonds, I don't get an improvement, I really haven't hurt my system. But if going through allopathic medicine, they say, here, take this drug, and it doesn't affect it, we still don't really know what that drug might have done, because underneath it all, more and more drugs are coming to market. Drugs are for something that needs to be fixed now. If you have a chronic condition, the best way to handle that is more naturopathically, at least from my perspective. And I want you to consider that, because if you have a chronic condition, you're probably creating it through your lifestyle. Where are you putting chemicals on your skin, in your clothes, in your system that are creating these results that give you the rashes, the irritations, the soreness, the swelling? There's so many factors, and you could take all the drugs you want, but you can also get into that cycle. For instance, even my poor mother in her last days, it was like one drug for this, one drug to counteract that drug, one drug to counteract the results of that drug, and another drug to counteract that. But she needed them all to be better. Doesn't make sense to me. You got a broken leg right now, get a tetanus shot. Get it. No question about it. But what are you doing to really restore your health, to add to the marrow, to add to the strength of your limbs as you go forward. And that's not going to be done by eating hot dogs and burritos.
I hear your passion in this, Solar Czar. I would say that I like to think of myself as one of those voices out there that truly does embrace the science and the understanding of its efficacy. If I need to have something done on an acute basis or surgically or whatnot, I am glad to be in this country mm-hmm. and certain other countries around the world for various types of procedures. For long-term effect, as you were mentioning, for chronic types of situations, we're finding more and more through the science, it's upholding this, and anecdotally, of course, that we can do so much to help to reverse that through better choices in our eating, drinking, sleeping, rest, stress reduction, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let's just hit four things that have become slash epidemic or air quotes, people, epidemic in the U.S. One is obesity. One is arthritis, diabetes. And I said four things. And like
heart.
I said,
heart.
Well, I wasn't thinking heart, but heart certainly is in there. And most of these can be again, like you said, acute, you need to fix now. You know, when you have a leak in your pipes, you don't say, you know, one of these days I need to maybe get some better pipes that'll be better for it. No. You need to fix the leak
now,
first.
Now.
Yeah. You fix that. Then maybe you get the other pipes. So that's the two different things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was thinking asthma. That was the other one. Mm-hmm. These are all conditions that are driven and inflamed by a lot of chemical input, and chemical input is processed foods. That's what I mean when I'm saying that. So when we look at our lifestyle and what we're putting into it, very often we can resolve, heal, or ameliorate a lot of those conditions just by altering our lifestyle in non-painful ways.
This is a learning process. It's different than what we're typically taught in any of our licensing schools. I've had the opportunity to be in those schools, various kinds, either as a student or as a teacher or a facilitator or a proctor, and also in the school of life, and also in the school of research, and seeing different findings that are in fact reversing perspectives or perceptions we had before. And what I'm finding is that it really does behoove one to stay on that cutting edge of knowledge. And when we cannot do that, then perhaps lean a little bit more on those who are taking the time and have that passion and have the capacity for being able to share that information and model it in ways that people can do.
So that I think, and I apologize for doing my own soapboxes during this period, but what I'm really trying to lead the listeners to, that's what makes Sherry Dr. Felton and the Wellness Planning Institute unique in the approach. It's not that others are not trying that approach, but it's her background, it's her experience, and it's the ability to balance the two. So at the end of the day, when they are your partner in your health planning, you're actually covering every area. You're not getting a bias of one side or the other. You're getting an approach to your wellness that's inclusive and holistic.
Because it's respect and understanding and appreciation for those different aspects. And also, too, I couldn't do all that I do without the practitioners that I have there at the center, whether they're estheticians, that is skin care and makeup specialists, whether they're exercise specialists, nutrition guides, naturopathic doctors, hypnotherapists, psychotherapists, you name it. Just different aspects that people are bringing to the table to help individuals to feel stronger, be stronger, and be able to help others to experience the same.
And so if you go to wellnessplanninginstitute.com, you can also take a look at the team members that are all part and parcel of what you're doing and what they're part and parcel of the Wellness Planning Institute and the team that's there to assist you on your journey. So if you wanted the listeners to really be able to carry one thing away concerning their wellness, their health, their well-being, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be a concise thing. It can be an expanded.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I would say wellness is real. You can have it right now. Now, does that mean you're going to be cured of every single ailment that's going on right now? No, it took some time to get into the condition that you may be. It will take some time to get out of that. But there is a way to experience added wellness, less stress, more calm, more focus, more realness in who you are in spite of what's going on in the home, in the heart, in life.
And I want to thank Sherry Dr. Felton for joining us this evening. You can hear her again next Wednesday at 5:15. She'll be one of the segment hosts here on Good Vibrations Radio. And we're very excited she's joining us. And as we close out this evening, I'm going to play Heal the World from Michael Jackson.
Think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart and I know that it is love. Was brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world.
Hello, this is Solazar, and once again, I'm flying solo because the beautiful Kirilani cannot be with us this evening, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to give you the best that I can possibly deliver. Actually, it might mean that I'm kind of being lazy tonight. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. But I want you to know that you are right here at Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right on Radio Monterey, and we're your source for everyday alchemy so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you the information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. Good Vibrations Radio is sponsored by Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, as well as the producer-promoter of the Rhoda Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Now, if you were at the November 1st and 2nd fair, I hope you had a great time, but we hope to see you again. And if you weren't there, I missed you. I really missed you. So I would like to see you come out into the bright light of this beautiful spring that's going to dawn on the Central Coast and come join us right after Beltane, right after May Day, at the Monterey Fairgrounds for the Rhoda Psychic Fair this coming spring. Now, when I started the show, I mentioned, and I want to do a reminder for those of you who are listening, and I want to do just a call out to those of you who are fresh to the show at this hour, that last night we had the full moon in Leo. So what does that mean? What's the power of this week? So let me give you a little bit of my own go with the flow in the absence of the inimitable Kirilani. First place, we started the week on Monday with Groundhog Day, which is, again, that secularization of Candlemas and Imbolc, and those represented the beginning of spring. Those represented the coming from the dark night of winter. Those represented the refresh and reformation and rebirth into a new life as we head to the equinox. So this is our time. Not January 1st, right now, starting this week, this is our time to redeclare ourselves for who we are and who we know we are and bring it out to the world. Take away those wrappings you've put around it. Take away those cloaks you've been using for protection and bring out your divine light and bring it out into the world and shine it as bright as possible. Now, if you're timid, just shine it a little bit at first and then keep shining it more and more and more. The other thing is we had that beautiful full moon in Leo yesterday that came full force. Now, I reminded you, when you think of Leo, think of the lion. What is that energy of the full moon? It's a manifesting moon. A manifesting moon that says you can start putting into place anything you want at this very moment, and I'm here to help you. I am your tailwind pushing your sails so you get across the ocean faster. And the fact that it's in Leo, think of the strength of that lion. A lion knows itself. A lion has comfort in itself. A lion is comfortable in its skin. When you look at a lion is doing two things. One, it's saying, you really don't matter that much to me, unless maybe I'm hungry. And second, aren't I magnificent? A lion doesn't need a mirror for you to look at them. They look right back at you, and they know they're magnificent in their skin. So, this is the time to bring your inner diva out. And know, no matter what it looks like, you look magnificent. And you look phenomenal. And you are bringing the you out into the world that needs to be there. We are all tired of all these masks, of all these clothing coverings that we've had. Now is the time to bring that light out and bring it in full force. And this year demands it, because this year is saying, once you get to the true self of who you are, because last year was self-truth and spiritual truth, but this is about you will have your prosperity and abundance through the self-love. And you can only do that by knowing who you are. And that's going to help us go right to our next guest. Our next guest is John Voris. Now, he's a philosopher, writer, and a psychological and metaphysical researcher. Now, he graduated from Berklee College in the 60s with a degree in philosophy. And you know what he did then? He became a salesman. And then he found through his process of sales that the typical selling techniques of how you try to reach or kind of sell to people don't necessarily work. And he evolved a system using his studies, his research, and his quest for knowledge. He developed a system and a process that helps each and every one of us know who we truly are, what exists inside us, exactly what we're talking about, to bring the true you out so you first have an understanding of why you're reacting. Yeah, it's good to know your astrology. It's good to know your numerology. It's good to have a psychic reading. All that stuff is good, but at the end of the day, just like we said in the first hour, you need to take ownership and responsibility of who you are in the world and understanding how to bring the best of you out and what eats at you, triggers you, or affects you by knowing who you are. And that's about all I'm going to say in my long-winded way, because I have more time to get long-winded. But I am just going to welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio, John Voris and his Authentic Identity Readings. Welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, John.
Well, thank you for having me again. This is very nice to be here. Nice to see you. And nice, certainly, to be on the program. And we're doing a lot of exciting things, very different, and we're focusing on the what's called the life theme, and everyone has a life theme, and the life theme is what directs your decision-making, and we discover this in a very short period of time, usually about 2 hours, and I generate a workbook, and there's a report at the end. And it's quite exciting. People learn quite a bit about it.
Well, and I want to emphasize one thing, even if it, trust me, it might take John 2 hours to do it, but it's a lifetime of experience, study, and research. And this man is known for his in-depth understanding, knowledge, and he's always looking for that. And because in your authentic life readings, tell a person really what they could expect to be an outcome of that.
Well, what I do is I ask them very specific questions about their real life, not what they might like to do or wish they could do, but what you have in fact done. For example, what type of car did you buy, or where do you live now? And I'm focused on what's actually real in their life, and they have symbolic meaning. And what people do is they cluster together symbols of meaning that reveal who they are. And so what I tell my clients is it's like I have a Christmas tree in my mind, and we're going to decorate it. And I don't know where the bulbs are going. I don't know what the color they are, where they're going to go, but we're going to decorate that tree together. And what they discover is they find patterns that they've never seen before. But the difference is you can now identify it. We can put names to them so they can now have control over their life. Whereas before, these motivating factors, these labels, control them.
So one of the things when you talk about labels, you talk about two things that I'd like to just reference a little bit here. One is this idea of symbology in our lives. And for many, many people who are familiar, and I know you are, with the study of, you know, Carl Jung brought out his study of myth and legend and symbology. And more contemporaneously, we know about Joseph Campbell and Stephen Larson. And Joseph Campbell with his hero's journey, Stephen Larson mm-hmm. being kind of the mentee, being mentored by Joseph Campbell and has carried it forward. But it's the idea that we have forgotten in modern society that everything in life really has some form of meaning or symbol to us, conscious or unconscious. And it's the unconscious ones that you're kind of looking for. Why did I choose that car? Because I may say this is my reason because I'm using my mental mind. But underlying that, there's some underlying reason that may represent. And that helps you identify the preferences of that person. Is that correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the way you have a, well, I was just discussing this with Mel today, when you have a free choice, if I were to ask you, where would you like to vacation? You have a free choice anywhere in the world. Where would it be?
For me?
Yeah.
Maui.
Maui. Why?
Well, I love the warm water. I love being able to get into the ocean. I feel very connected to both the earth mm-hmm. and the ocean. It makes me feel both very grounded and yet free as because of that flotation in the water. Mm-hmm. I can actually commune with the local, the fish, without mm-hmm. interfering them
sure.
in their natural ecosystem. So it really makes me feel like I am one with Mother Earth.
Okay. Now, would you say your choice of Hawaii was, or Maui was a free choice?
Well, I would say at this point in my life, it was a free choice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what occurred is you gave me all the reasons. Your reasons was your bias of why you chose Maui. The only way to truly have a free choice without a bias is to flip a coin. That's the only way, because every time you think you're choosing freely, you're bringing in your identity.
Ah, good point, good point.
Now we can't imagine going through life flipping coins. Like, I'm going to go to work today, flip a coin. I'm going to go out with her, flip a coin. It wouldn't work. But what's missing? There's no identity there. That's why we can't do that. When you realize that they can't do that, you feel the power of the identity must be expressed.
So we want to let folks know that they can call in if you have questions for John or would like to walk through a bit of a process with him. And the number is 831-899-5792. And you're welcome to call and speak to John, ask a question, or take it in a direction where you'd like more information about what John's talking about. But going back to what you just said, John, I would take then from what you said that modern society today has turned around and we've created a society that minimizes our ability to choose. It essentially gives us pre-programmed choices. What
right.
I mean by that, yeah,
mm-hmm.
we do, you know, we're expected to do the 9 to 5. We go from you know, high school, you're expected to go to college, you're expected to get a job, you're expected at some point to mm-hmm. to get married, and now in 32 states, if you're gay, you can get married.
Right,
you
exactly,
know?
So, yeah.
But congratulations on that. But you're expected to go through all these things. So what we've done, going even back in my readings of not Jung, but certainly Joseph Campbell and mm-hmm. Stephen Larson, is that we created milestones in our lives in the modern society mm-hmm. that we tend to ascribe meaning to that really are meaningless.
Right.
You know, and so that's why we've lost the symbology, the myth, we've lost the impact of the meaning there. Mm-hmm. So we've created these artificial milestones that really take away our choice based on what you're saying.
Right. If you're not you're choosing based on who you are, then you don't have an authentic identity. And that's where the name came from for the system that I use. You don't have an authentic choice. And you're quite right. What usually happens is well-meaning parents will try to direct us when we're young, but direct us in the wrong path when it comes to career. And we often follow that. Then we're in our 30s, and we're not happy. We don't know why. Well, it's because we didn't choose who we really were in the first place. We just gave up and decided, since I can do something like be an accountant, then I should be an accountant, which is not true. What you can do and what you should do are two different things. And what I do is I take clients through that process so they see the difference. As a matter of fact, the last, I'd say, 25 clients I've had have been attorneys, practicing attorneys. And they're in their 30s and 40s, and they need to make a change.
So if they're practicing attorneys, does that mean they're not good at it?
That's they're still practicing. That's right. That's right. So that's kind of surprising. They spent all that time, and they're not happy. Why? You go back in time, and you find that they followed their mother, the father, the brother, the aunt, whoever it might be. And so they're not authentic to who they are. That means that their choices were not who they are. Back to almost flipping a coin. Somebody flipped a coin for them, and they followed that path, and that's why they don't feel that happiness or a sense of achievement or a sense of success.
You know, one of the things you pointed out that I think goes to the heart of it is very often, again, I'm going to go back to my point to your point. Very often in this modern society, we've created these milestones, and mm-hmm. at these milestones, we're making choices. But yet, because we don't know who we are, we make the choice that we think, I didn't
yes.
say feel, that we think is closest to what our desire is. And that's the way to express it. And what it seems to me, I mean, looking even back at my life, I think my greatest expression of self was when I lived on the streets and I was doing street performances. It was my greatest expression of self. That and maybe once in a while pulling a robbery. guys got to eat.
Yeah.
But what I'm really getting to, yeah, there's somebody out there going, I got to look at the statute of limitations on that. But what we're really getting to is that we think this is close to what we are, but we don't really know who we are. So could you take, for instance, a 5-year-old and determine that? Or what's the earliest you feel you could effectively help someone with their authentic identity?
15 years old. That their ability to abstract is present, and that's essential in finding their authentic identity and their theme, their life theme. Mm-hmm. So 15, and I've done 15s. 18s and 17s are fantastic because they're about to go into college, and they find what they're really after, what they really want to do. And quite often, it's not what the parents think they should do.
So I want to let folks know that you can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect over to johnvoris.com. That's J-O-H-N-V as in Victor, O-R-I-S.com. To go to John's site to find out more about his services and how to contact him, et cetera. Now, do you often, you said a lot of your clients have been practicing attorneys. Do you ever work with families, or you said
Yes.
Worked with some?
Families, yes, and children, people in job transition. That's a huge market there. And I work with a local individual who is a career counselor, in fact, and I assess her clients, and we do that together so they can see what really motivates them beneath their personality. That's very important. Personality is what Jung called the persona, the outside manifestation of who you are. But that doesn't show you what generates that manifestation. This does, because it goes far deeper.
Well, and very often, correct me if I'm wrong as well, very often it's our persona that's the problem. What I mean by that is we've created a persona that we think we need.
Exactly.
It's not coming from our authentic identity.
No.
And so we said, look at how they do that. I need a piece of that. I need a piece of this. I need a piece of that. And we create this image. Mm-hmm. And we're pushing this image out to the world.
That's right. Yeah. And also that part of who you are always changes. That can change. But you'll notice that you can imagine yourself being 5 years old, 10, 15, 20, all the way up to 5 minutes ago. And there's part of you that has an identity that never changes. And that's what we locate. That's what we define for the client, and they're able to see what has actually been motivating them all their life.
Yeah. And so could you tell us a little bit about the background of this? I touched on a bit of it, that you were a salesman and you were mm-hmm. going through and you were finding the training didn't work. What really caused you to say there has to be another way?
The reason is when I did try sales, I took the courses and read the books and listened to the tapes, and I would try it, and it always failed. But I was not alone. There's many people around me. But at the same time, because of my studies in philosophy of language at Berkeley, I realized that they're not really telling the whole story. The topic of language alone can fill any bookstore. And that gives you an idea of how much is not being taught. So they're not teaching you how language works, what is communication, and what is the function of language. Language only carries meaning. Very, very different concept. So what I did is back in 1980 is when I started, I looked for a pattern, and I found it. And I looked for a model, and in 6 months I had one. And that model carried me for 20 years. And finally, in around 2003, I retired, and then people said I should get this out into the public. But, it's all about language and what it really means and how we communicate on a far deeper level than they do, let's say, in the sales training industry.
Now, knowing my authentic identity, how does that relate to my life purpose? What is it that my authentic identity is going to help me know about what I can put out into the world?
If your authentic identity or theme, you might say, is wisdom, you're a person who is always wanting to know, but you want to know about wanting to know about wanting to know. And you're always curious, almost to a fault, and that's what wisdom people do. And so that means that you'll always be engaged in something that's intellectual. There is where you're going to find the most a sense of achievement. Now, for example, what if you were a power person? Power person, they want to direct. They want to empower others or empower themselves. They're looking for change, and that's where their focus is. So that's what they would do all their life. So they might be in a management position, large corporations, and have a lot of people beneath them. Wisdom people don't want that. Wisdom people really need the independence, and they like to learn constantly. And you have to be in a position like that where the learning is constant.
And what we see, too, is a lot of power people are going to gravitate to power positions. We'll see
exactly.
that in corporations. We'll see that in government. So side note of Solazar needing to get his own bias to the world out at the moment. This is not John speaking. Disclaimer. But so that's why you'll find those folks who have noticed that sometimes it's not necessarily the most qualified or capable person that rises to the top, but it is the person that is trying to rise to the top.
Right.
You know, now that's not 100%, but you're going to find it far outweighs the other. And right now, we're in our society where we have such polarization, you're going to find it's because power people are fighting power people. So the ideologue is not going to be up there with the power people. They're just going to push them aside.
That's right.
It's about power.
That's right. It's all about power. And the reason why they're able to do that is because for a power person, it's not a personality test. They
mm-hmm.
don't care. They don't care that they don't care. What they're doing is giving directives, like, let's say, Patton. You're given a directive to take this hill. He's going to take the hill. And the consequences are not all that important. Taking the hill is everything. So that also means sometimes power people are willing to step on other toes, but they don't feel the impact. They don't feel the guilt, and they don't feel the shame of doing that. They're after the end result, the change. That's what they're hired to do. And if they do that, they're happy. They're satisfied with what they do. And if they made a few, not enemies, but people uncomfortable along the way, so be it.
Yeah.
But wisdom people can't do that. Love people can't do that, and neither can justice people do that.
Yeah. And that's why sometimes the power people seem to be ruling the world, because they actually, I was going to say it in a much more coarse way, but I'm going to leave it with the way you said it, which is very fine, which is they don't feel the way you feel, the way you think it feels, the way it would keep you to lie awake at night. They don't feel that. Therefore, they're not having the suffering that you would have if you did that to another person.
And they get the job done. Now, can you imagine if you were put in leadership and you had to worry about what everybody else thought? How could you ever get anything done? So this is really a benefit for the power people. They can really, I mean, I'm not on a moral position. They could be absolutely dead wrong. But to get the job done, they're right.
Understand that.
Yeah.
Understand that. And
yeah.
the interesting part about John, as you just noticed in that discussion there, is John is very objective about the whole thing. There's every identity has a plus and a minus. Generally, the plus is the same as the minus. In other words, our strength and our weakness are both usually the same
exactly.
or come from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time when you thought it was because you had a Libra moon, you may find out it's really because of your authentic identity, you know, that's influenced by your Libra moon. It ain't your Libra moon.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And that's good. You have to make distinctions between who you are and your authentic identity. Then there's your life theme, your synthetic motivation. There's many facets to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I take my clients through all of this and during that 2-hour period. So you can see we're discussing just one topic, which is theme only. You can see how in depth it can be.
Yeah. So from your authentic identity, you help people identify their life purpose, their life theme, and what you also say that there are four life themes. Do I understand
yes.
that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
How do they relate to the authentic identities? And I understand that there's also a virtues and moral principle part of the philosophy.
Well, what we discovered was there's four, and this goes back to they're found in even in Egypt. They have these vessels they used for putting in organs for entombment. And they were guarded by four gods. One was love, justice, wisdom, and power. And these four have been found through all of history. You can find it in archaeology. You can find it in paleontology. You can find it in many aspects of sociology that's always consistent with what we call the human condition. That's what I like to call it. And each one has its own specific function. And the way that works is the love people announce the condition of humanity. They tell the justice people. just as people are the only ones that have both the ability to empathize and the wisdom. So they empathize with the loved people, and they listen to their complaints, and they see if it's justified. If it is justified, then they go to the wisdom people and say, I want you to find a way to resolve this problem. They do. Now the question is, how do we implement this solution? They go to the power people. The power people get it done. Then go back to the love people and see what the result is. And we have all four, and each and every one of us has all four. But one dominates the rest. But we have all four. So we go through these aspects in our own minds when we're making decisions for ourselves. But on a social level, there are these groups of people that that keep the whole society moving.
And I think it's important for all of us to go back to John's point there that we have all four in us. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now and come back to more of John Voris and Authentic Identity. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 831-899-5792. But as we go to the break, I want to share what we shared, our affirmation in our monthly energy call for the month of February when Kirilani and I put out the information for each of the weeks and days. And I want to share this affirmation for you to think about. I am the architect of my life. I build its foundation. I choose its contents. My life is just beginning. So why don't you consider whether you would like your authentic identity to help you really begin your life purpose, no matter where you are in your journey. We'll be right back with more Good Vibrations Radio right after this.
Can a comet have seasons? I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. The Rosetta spacecraft reached Comet 67P in August of 2014 and has been orbiting it ever since. Southwest Research Institute space scientist Mirta Hassig says the comet has a unique rubber ducky shape, which gives it a northern and southern hemisphere, resulting in seasons not unlike Earth's.
So the southern hemisphere winter at the moment, that's where we basically have no sunlight, while the northern hemisphere summer is where we have mainly sun all day long. And we see mainly water coming off on the summer side of the ducky and CO2 coming off on the underside of the ducky.
Hassig and her colleagues report in the journal Science that the seasons affect the composition of the comet's thin atmosphere. She says comets provide clues into the early development of our solar system. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Hi, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani. Good Vibrations Radio has been your date on Saturday night for the last 7 years.
But now you can be with us five nights a week starting February 2nd.
Good Vibrations Radio, your date, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m.
Right here on Radio Monterey.
Hey, this is Hal. Catch me every weekday morning from 6 to 9 right here on Radio Monterey. Where else can you go for a live talk with an incisive liberal edge? Actually, nowhere. The Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9.
With Diamond Alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
Good vibrations, 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 good vibrations
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
On Radio Monterey. You know what? I actually have the clip from Kirilani to do that. But I just still like having the clip in there of her voice for when she's not here so I can feel all warm and cozy, you know? So it just, that works for me. If it doesn't work for you, whatever. So I want to get back to more with John Voris, our special guest, talking about authentic identity and the process that he helps people go through to truly identify where they're coming from in their life, the true them that they are, their life purpose, and also the themes of how they're balanced in their life through the various themes which John spoke about. So, John, what is it about knowing my authentic identity that would create transformation in my life?
Oh, the number one impact my clients report to me is self-acceptance. That's number one. And the reason is they finally see that they have been doing the right things most of their life. Sure, there was mistakes made, but now they also understand why they were made. They were made because they didn't have this information. But that's the number one, self-acceptance. And then the second thing is that they're now able to direct their future.
Well, and this is, Well, it's a biased question. Every question I ask is biased because we've already determined that. I have no free choice anyway.
That's right.
Do you have many power people that kind of people that determine that their authentic identity is power coming to you, or do you have more of the wisdom, justice, and peace people coming?
The power people are the least. Then there's the wisdom. Then there's the justice, and the love is the most.
Love is the most.
Yes,
and that. Again, that would make sense just thinking at the top level of their traits, their capabilities, their patterns,
right.
And their preferences. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked about the power, because I was thinking of the people around me that I know or presume. I'll give it, because okay. I could certainly be wrong. They could be love people hiding. Mm. You know, hardly. But the power people around me, because as you said, they don't have the feeling, so therefore they don't have the self-doubt in some cases.
That's right.
That certainly a love person would have, probably more so, and then a justice and a wisdom person would have.
Exactly. And that, as a matter of fact, that also explains why some people get along with others, certain types. The power people get along with the wisdom. The justice people do not get along with the power people. And the love people and the power people is like acid. And that's been shown not only in the assessments I've done, but also when I've done inner office conflict. I always find that to be the case. And there can be an exception. It depends on where the justice mind is. If they're combination of both love and wisdom. So some of them have a greater sense of love. Some people have a greater sense of wisdom, and that'll impact how they get along with the other wisdom people, and the love people too. But power still, they kind of stand all alone, and it takes a special kind of wisdom to get along with the power.
Yeah, I've had issues with, I think most people have had issues with power people.
Yeah, that makes sense, yes.
And I, going back to what you said, where we need power people to get things done, I think it also takes a special type of power person to get things done.
Yes.
Because there's two ways of getting things done, on the backs of people or with people.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and many power people are not really collaborative in their approach to doing things because they're afraid that it impacts their standing in their power.
That does happen. Now, there is a distinction between being a power person and wanting empowerment. When you want empowerment, you want to empower others and yourself. But when you're there for power, it's all about the individuals, very narcissistic. Like you're talking about.
Now, I'm going to say to folks out there who are listening that you might say, okay, I know enough now to identify all the people around me, and I'm just going to tell you, you don't. You need to understand that this is a process that requires some knowledge, some background, and some understanding. And you really owe it to yourself if you're in any position right now in your job or in your life where you're just saying, I'm not happy. and you think it's because you're not eating kale for lunch, or you think it's because you're not on the treadmill after work, or you think it's because you're not taking a walk in nature. Those are all good things, but it may be because you're focusing your external activities in areas that don't serve your authentic identity. And that's why it's very powerful to have the time with John to go through the process of finding your authentic identity. And as you said, you get the self-acceptance. And I think the self-acceptance that comes from knowing your authentic identity, as you've said here, is transformative.
Oh, it definitely is. I've had people sit at my table and cry. They finally realize why they've been doing what they have, and it's okay. They're okay.
Yeah,
that is an amazing thing to see. The other is that many people ask me what makes this different. And many people do not know there's been a battle in the world of psychiatry between American, or they would actually call the Western view of psychology, and the continental view of psychology. And there was a split back in the 60s. And the idea is that the Western view, they always look for empirical evidence, physical evidence. They do studies and ask a lot of questions. The problem is that a human being is not a machine. And that is where sometimes they miss what's most important. The continental view of psychology starts off with, what does it mean to be human? And from that position, they begin to assess that people have innate capabilities, desires, and archetypes that do direct their life. But you can't ascertain that if you come from a scientific Western perspective. And that's the big difference. So what I'm saying is very common in Europe, but not here.
Okay.
That's very important.
Well, and that would explain why here it may seem that much more, forget what I'm thinking, people. Nobody ever knows. Neither do I. but I was going to see. But I've enjoyed the process. I actually, for the listeners, went through the process with John years ago. And while I can say that, like everything else in my life that I should be paying attention to, I don't really pay enough attention to it. But I do pay enough attention to know why. I actually know why I do things, why I've chosen certain things, why I can release certain things that I don't need to hold on to them as I thought I did. And whether that's behavior or the garbage that's in the garage, it doesn't really matter, because all of that is an outcome. For instance, one of the things John and I spoke about coming from a wisdom authentic identity is I found that for me, a lot of that meant kind of having the library, stockpiling the books, had to have the book. Because if I had the book, it was almost as if there was a transfer of the knowledge. And so I had to have the book, because I could never have the knowledge if I didn't have the book. And there was this whole issue, and I have to admit, in the last several years, the ability to release and let go of those books and let them go on to other people, let them go on to it, because it doesn't matter. I also believe, John, right or wrongly, for all the authentic identities, that we ingest and absorb the information that serves us best.
Right.
And that goes, to me, right to the heart of our authentic identity.
That's right.
You know, so I think I need to know how to win friends and influence people from a power perspective, not necessarily a true Dale Carnegie perspective. But that's a very power title. Win friends and influence people, because I can make you see my way. It's kind of that kind of a push. But I can't. That doesn't work for
me. That's right.
It's never going to work for me, because it's not my authentic identity.
Exactly. Exactly. And many people are taught to believe that if they're not successful by the definitions of society, there's something wrong with them. And there isn't. They're doing exactly what they need to be doing.
So, and the important part that you give us with our authentic identity, as you said, besides that self-acceptance, is you do help us focus on what would actually make us happier
in
life. Because
exactly.
Once we create that congruence with what we're doing, and that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to give up all their relationships or their job.
No.
But it does mean we can reshape how we approach things with an understanding of our authentic self and stop actually trying to push heavy boulders uphill.
Yeah, everyone is really operating in conformity to who they are. The difference is once you know what really motivates you on a deeper level, then you're able to fine-tune that and start being selective in your choices a little better. And it would take that happiness scale and give it quite a boost. And that's the point.
So, and I want to let the listeners know that John is going to be a segment host here on Good Vibrations Radio right here on Wednesdays. And he'll be starting the 18th of February, which is in the second half. So we'll have Sherry Dr. Felton in the first half. We'll be able to take control of our health. And with the information that John will share, you can start getting a greater understanding of yourself. But you need a session with John to really get that true understanding and self-acceptance of yourself and be able to take control of who you are. Now, as I said at the top of this hour and at the top of the last hour, this is the year for bringing your light out. You just got to make sure it's your light. You know, maybe it's really your neighbor's light and you think it's your light. So you don't want to be shining your neighbor's light all through the world. Shine your own. And authentic identity is a powerful tool, a powerful, painless tool. I want to point that out. There are so many typing systems out there, you know, and many people are familiar with the MMPI or the Myers-Briggs and different things like that. And yet when we look at them, they really don't give us the understanding. I'm going to say that from somebody who's been through every typing test going. Not every. There's probably one I didn't take. But it was the authentic identity that actually gave me the true understanding and realization of self and my drive and my motivation and how the factors intersected in my life.
All it is those types of tests are good when it comes to your behavior, your behavioral style. But what motivates your behavior has to come from another place.
Yeah.
And it's in an abstract area, beyond language, by the way.
And that, oh, okay. And that's also where you brought out about the persona, which is that outward manifestation.
Right.
And a lot of those tests are measuring
yes.
our outward behavior,
yes.
as you said, our mm-hmm. manifestation of what we're doing.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily tell us why.
Right.
Yeah. So this has been quite a journey for you also, John. What is it you would like people to know about authentic identity and where would you like to take it next?
Well, I'm working with several people who are going to package this in a way that will make it very, very unique to the public. And we're doing a book. We're going to be doing a tour. Looking forward to that. And I'm going to do some speaking engagements. I'm getting that lined up as right now.
All right. And when you say a tour, you mean a book tour?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Good for that. And when do you think your book would be out?
Hopefully maybe by June or July.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's mm-hmm. fabulous to know. And so coming to a bookstore near you, or probably actually to a bookstore online, which reminds me to tell you to go to goodvibrationsradio.com guest page to connect over to johnvoris.com, J-O-H-N-V as in Victor, O-R-I-S.com, to find out more about John's services, what he does, to see the videos of John as he talks more about the authentic identity, as well as to connect and contact John to find out what your authentic identity is. Now, you may feel you know, but the interesting intersection about that, it's not even just knowing your authentic identity. It's knowing where you rate with the other ones. How much of that is coming from you? As John said, we have all four, but it's the same type of thing. It's just like when you're making a meal. You can have too much salt, too much pepper, and too much garlic in your meal, even though you have those three in there. So you want to know what the mix is, because the mix also helps tell you where you're getting triggered by which types of people.
Right.
You know, which is very, very important. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a triangle in fire in Aries and Sagittarius and Leo in my astrological charts. I'm a New York Italian, and I lived on the streets, and I have 21 years in the Marine Corps. I'm pretty much a junkyard dog, so pretty much anybody can tick me off, you know. But at least now I know why.
You know why? That's the point. That's right.
So. What is the best way to get in touch with you, John?
Well, one is you can contact me through johnvoris.com, as you said. And my email is john at johnvoris.com. You can also call me at 866-630-7325.
You know, and we talked a little bit about symbology, or the fact that every choice we make really has a symbolism underlying it and underneath it. If there was one thing you would like people to understand about their choices in life and the symbolism of them, without knowing their authentic identity, what could you share with people to let them start taking a look at their choices and maybe figuring out why they're doing it?
All they have to do is sit in their front room and look around at the objects they have and ask themselves, what does each item mean to me?
And meaning, of course, doesn't come from your mind. I want you to know that.
It's value.
Yeah.
How do I value that?
You need to think of it even more than that, because the mind will intersect and say, well, you know, your mother gave you that, or that came from your father-in-law and stuff
like that.
But you're
going to find that what you've accumulated is a cluster of meanings that really are tethered to a single
meaning. See, and I never spell it that way. I've always called it clutter. I have more T's than you do. But I agree with that. Everything around us is a symbolism, and I am so fascinated with that aspect. But we're soon going to be out of time, and I want to remind you to come back on the 18th when John is back with his segment talking about authentic identity and what we can learn and know about. But between now and then, go to johnvoris.com, look at the website. Take a big gander at it and try to see if there's enough information there for you to take it further. And I'm going to tell you, take it further. I think you owe it to yourself. So, John, is there one last thought or idea you would like to share with the audience before we head to the close?
Yes, I think that if they are not happy in life, if they are just, they feel like they're just drifting, this will open the doors for them, and they will have a greater degree of satisfaction and sense of achievement.
So I want to thank you for that, John, and let folks know that tomorrow night we'll be back at 5 p.m. Pacific time with more Good Vibrations Radio. We're going to have Susie Donahue, Theta Healing, and we'll have Charlotte Tinker. Actually, Charlotte won't be here with Kuan Yin. That's unfortunate, but it's just she'll be back next week to be with us for Kuan Yin. But we'll get that all resolved and filled in. But in the meantime, as we close out tonight, I'd like to close out with this Beatles song of Across the Universe, because everything is out there for you once you know who you are and how to go find it.
Like endless rain into a paper cup, they slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Wind inside a letterbox, they tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Jackaroo David, oh, nothing's gonna change. Nothing's gonna change my world.
comes, it calls me on and on across the universe.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Life. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.